please move, adjust your body, stretch this, scratch that, in order to get your mind or your body just right before we begin. Okay, so once again, this is the advanced class of meditation. If you're coming for the beginner's class of meditation, the beginner's class of meditation is the room on my right. This is the one for the 45 minutes. So we sit down. We put attention on our body first of all. It's important because our body will cause us a lot of pain and discomfort in the next 45 minutes if we don't look after it correctly. So be careful. coming to the moment, letting go of all past and future, and valuing, giving importance to the content of now. giving value to the silence of the mind. Where there's no thought, no label, no words. giving value to the breath until it becomes the beautiful breath. it's very close now, very close to the end of the meditation session. This is when I ask people to contemplate how they feel. Just see the change in their mind and body produced by 45 minutes of stillness. To reflect on what worked and what didn't work. So one learns quickly the way of meditation. Remembering the benefits, the feeling of peace, happiness, and clarity of mind, which comes at the end of every meditation period. We remember those things very clearly. We build the incentive to meditate again. And now ring the gong 3 times. At the end of the 3rd sound from the gong, it is a sign to come out from your meditation. Please come out for your meditation now. Sometimes we can give lots of words, but words are nothing compared with the raw experience. So one meditates more and more, one goes deep inside. It's the stillness of the mind which allows the outer coverings to disappear. It's as if that when one is still, one focuses, one sees more. But with the movement of the mind, called thinking, called coming and going, we miss so much. When we come still, we realize we have the great treasure of peace and happiness right where we are, in the middle of the mind. So the path of meditation is a path of inner experience. In the different spiritual traditions, this is a path of gnosis rather than belief. Belief is when you take things on the authority of some other person, or on books. But with gnosis you find out for yourself. You go inside to the experience of knowing. Sometimes we call meditation even learning how to know. Sometimes that our knowledge is just belief on trust from others. But in meditation one learns what knowing is all about. The ability to clearly see. One of the great benefits of meditation, according to the ancient texts, was the removing of the hindrances which block seeing things as they truly are. As if there's like mental blockages to wisdom. And the path of meditation removes those blocks, those barriers to clear seeing. I remember even when I was a kid, people would say it's like removing the veil from truth. And that veil is like these obstacles. Sometimes the mind is either too dull or just moving all over the place. It's not stable enough or still enough to see truth. It doesn't feel the peace and the bliss of the moment. But in meditation one comes to an experience. And you should notice as you meditate more and more, if it's meditating according to the instructions, the mind becomes more clear, not less clear. Which is why that many people use meditation in the current world to clear their mind so they can perform their duties, like being CEOs of companies or making decisions about their business or even just managing their life. Because without clarity we tend to make too many mistakes. But the meditation gives you that clarity. It gives you the mental energy as well to be able to see. And sometimes our mind is so dull, we may have our eyes open but we just don't see. Our ears may be unclogged but they don't really hear. Something gets lost from the sound to our cognizance of it. Things get bent and sifted out. This is what the Buddha called delusion. But when we meditate, the channels are cleared, the obstacles are removed, the veil is drawn apart. With that clarity and that stillness of mind, then we can start to see things and understand things. One of the wonderful things about truth is it's happy. Truth is not miserable. So as we open up our mind through this beautiful stillness, what we see is joy. The mind has been energized. The mind has been freed. And the blissful states of meditation are sometimes the best truth you've ever known. Sometimes people think that falling in love is the best truth, the most meaningful experience. But when one goes into the deep states of meditation, one sees another, even more profound truth. A more blissful, perfect experience of the world. This is where you begin to find what we call in Buddhism the Dhamma. The truth, the meaning, why. So as we meditate more and more, it's not that we just get more relaxed and more healthy. It's not that we just get more at ease with ourselves. Even things like our business improves. But most important, our wisdom grows. We see more deeply. What we see is beautiful. The power of a mind released from the hindrances. You have more energy and more fun in life. Okay, so are there any questions about the meditation now? Yeah. Mind is racing and emotionally disturbed, either with anger or upset, or even because you're really getting off on the girl sitting next to you, or whatever else it is. And sometimes all one needs to do is to make peace with that experience. It's making peace with whatever you're experiencing is that wonderful way of meditating where you don't worry about what it is in front of you, using a metaphor that this is what I'm experiencing, this is the experiencer. It's how you're observing that which is most important. You make peace with that. So it's okay, here's my mind is racing. This is the result of old karma from the past. Now it's racing. What am I going to do with it now? Make peace with it. Leave it alone. I'm sure you've heard that very key story of my life as a meditator. My 6 years as a monk in this idyllic monastery all by myself. Hardly any duties at all. Can meditate basically all day. And after 2 or 3 weeks my mind was going crazy. With all sorts of thoughts. And in the talks I said there were very unmonkish thoughts. Thoughts about old girlfriends, sex, all sorts of stuff. I was a good monk, I tried to stop it, but I couldn't. It just got worse and worse. And it came to the point, I got really crazy, I decided to make a deal. I went to the Buddha statue in the main hall and said, right, if you want to think of whatever these you want to think about from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. every afternoon, you can think whatever you like. Sex, movies, old girlfriends, whatever. 3 to 4, you can do whatever you want. But the rest of the day, you meditate on present moment awareness, silence, the breath. You'd be a good monk, okay? But I give you 3 to 4 as your playtime. Didn't work. The whole day, that was struggling just as before. If you struggle with your mind like that, you just know how enervating it gets. It's so frustrating. You want to watch the breath, but you just can't. These thoughts keep running in. When it got to 3 o'clock, I went up to my hut. It was halfway up the hill. And just leant against the wooden boards, put my feet out. Okay, mind. Now it's your turn. You can just watch sex, movies, anything, whatever you want to watch and think about. The most deviant sex, okay, you can do whatever you want. And then for the next hour, my mind watched the breath going in, the breath going out. The whole hour without any problem at all. And this is where I learned from experience. It's when you've got a raging mind. Why is it raging? Why is it all over the place? You find its cause. It's your negativity. Not wanting. You feed the fire. If you just know how to leave it alone. You disengage. You just watch. You make peace. You open the door of your heart to whatever's happening, even the most disgusting. And then because you're not feeding the fire, it just burns out so quickly, more quickly than you'd imagine possible. You're getting angry. A lot of times you meditate, you're getting angry at being angry. I'm a Buddhist, I'm not supposed to get angry. You just make it worse. I'm depressed, I don't want to be depressed. I'm tired, I don't want to be tired. So whatever you're experiencing in your mind, the beginning of a meditation, present moment awareness, means valuing that. Okay. When you're watching this glass, what are you seeing? You're seeing its colour, its contents, its shape. In any observance, there's qualities which you single out, which you focus on. So maybe you're observing, say, a sexual fantasy. But it's how you're observing that is the thing which you're focusing on. You know it's a fantasy, you know it's a glass you're watching, but it's how am I observing that glass? It's an aspect of the experience. It's not separate from it. But that's the main thing which you can see. It's not that I'm watching the breath, but how am I watching it? Which is why this is one of the problems. Sometimes people watch the breath like this. They're holding it so tightly, they're so scared it's going to disappear. They think this is how they're going to get to enlightenment today. And you can understand when you see what you're doing, you understand that that's not the way to stillness, that's the stress. Or, people, if they meditate a long time, sometimes they're so cowed, You know, they want to sort of, you know, I'm a great meditator, I'm not supposed to be sleepy. And so they frighten the mind. They put negativity into the way they're watching. This is why you can't get to good ends with impure means. This is the law of karma is great here. So what karma are you making in meditation? Are you doing it with desire, with fear, with ill will, with craving, with control? That's the sort of karma you're putting in the meditation. It's never going to get deep. But if whatever you're watching now is just, say, sexual fantasy or just bare anger to someone who's upset you today, if that's what you're watching there, and you put the door of my heart's open to this feeling, I'm making peace with it. Just leave it alone. It's not me, not mine, none of my business. Just watch it. Then you find you're making good karma. You're renouncing, you're letting go, you're having unconditional mindfulness, unconditional acceptance. And therefore you're making beautiful karma in this moment towards this experience of now. And as such, it can only go one way. The mind has to go beautiful, because you're making the causes of the beautiful. It goes ugly because you make the causes of the ugly. So when you understand that little trick in meditation, there's nothing you can't use. You can start off with a crazy, stupid mind. You make peace with it. Yeah. The whole lot. Just what we mean by unconditional mindfulness. I don't like you, you know, because, you know, your questions, you know, your body, your hair, anything. You're complete embracing of the moment. You're making peace with it. And that leads to stillness. It's very powerful. You find when you fight, you build up negativity, bad karma. This is why Buddhism has never been an aggressive religion. We haven't fought wars. Not outside anyway. But many Buddhists fight internal wars with their mind. No wonder there's so much damage inside. Collateral damage. Casualties. So this quite little, just open. Yes. Your question, yeah? Yes. Shh. Don't think so much yet. Because a lot of times we have these frameworks for understanding life. And one framework is not better than any other framework, is that some frameworks are more useful. So you can have a little framework for the time being of me in here, my experience out there, and seeing what's the relationship between me and my experience. The data of my life. It's hot. I know it's hot. What's between me and the heat? Do I not like it? I'm trying to get rid of it, grumpy about it. Why am I got this like unconditional acceptance? It's hot. It's meant to be hot. I can't do anything about it. I make peace with it. When you have that way of looking, it's helpful. I'm not saying it's right or it's the ultimate truth, but it's helpful to get peaceful. Then after a while, so once you're peaceful, you can see more clearly. Who is it, or rather, what is it that's watching? And this is what we find out in our deep meditations, when things become so still. You know, all you can see is just the knower and the known, and see they are like two pieces of wood leaning against each other. When one disappears, so does the other. So when there's nothing more to know, the knower disappears as well. You vanish. You're only there when there's something to do. When nothing is left, neither are you. Does that make sense? Very good, you're honest. But when you go deep in meditation, you see that's the way it is. That's why you can never understand fully these teachings except through a very, very deep meditation, which is why we encourage meditation instead of philosophy. Philosophizing, we just have arguments. But meditation will lead people to see for themselves. So Waisak, Buddha became enlightened not by arguing or debating, but becoming so still. The mind opened up to this. There we go. Okay, so that was a little nice ad. It's Waisak weekend here in Perth. So tomorrow we're having a big celebration all day, which you're welcome to come any time. All the details are on the board. I think in a couple of weeks' time, is it 3 weeks, Lynn, we're having the retreat? I think there's a deep meditation. Weekend retreat on the, must be I think the 2nd and the 3rd, I think. 3rd and the 4th. 2nd to the 4th. And that's in Safety Bay, led by Sister. So those of you who want to go deep into meditation with the weekend, that's a nice thing to do. There's still places available. And I think the library will be able to take those registrations. And lastly, that if you've looked on the glass, all those posters all over the place, that we are holding this Buddhist conference. It's not just a conference, it's an event with many sideshows at the Perth Convention Centre. It's a great honour for our Buddhist Society. This is an international conference. It's the 4th global conference on Buddhism. You see some speakers from all over the world coming along, literally, and people you never see in Perth. These are very high profile people. So if you want to come along and just see, you know, a deeper part of Buddhism and be able to ask some questions which you're not able to answer because there's not enough people to actually to answer them, not enough experts on things like women's place in Buddhism, on different types of meditation, on things like euthanasia. We have Dr. Phil coming. This is not the Dr. Phil from the TV show. Dr. Philip Nitschke, the euthanasia, the president of Exit International, to stir things up, to see, is euthanasia okay or not? Buddhism in politics. We have Jeff Gallup speaking, and all sorts of other really interesting people. And because it's Waisak, we have the tickets on special offer this weekend. For, I think it's $150. Is it, Annie? $150 this weekend. And it'll be $200 on Monday. So be careful. And, oh, I didn't actually mention this. It's a meditation. This whole, probably actually we have to extend it to Monday, won't we, Annie? Because it's a sister's having a meditation day on Monday here. So it's $150 on Tuesday. It'll be back to $200 on Tuesday. So Monday also. Because on Monday, if anyone has a day off, or wants to take the day off, that there's going to be like a meditation day here in Dhammaloka all day, run by Sister Ajahn Wayama. Just come, meditate, bring a plate of food, and just like a day retreat for anyone who wants to join in. Okay, I think enough ads. Now we can go and pay respects to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and then we can finish off.